Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse number 1, says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I wanted to read that passage to get to one phrase in this that the Lord began to stir in my heart earlier this week. And it's the phrase that's found in verse number 3, so great a salvation. You see it right in on the second line there, so great a salvation. I want to talk to you this morning about so great a salvation. I want to talk to you about the great salvation that's been provided for us by our Father God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, well, before we get there, though, I want to, Brother Hagin used to say we need to cut down some of the underbrush before we cut down the big tree. All right. And so we're going to cut some underbrush around it, and then we're going to cut the big tree down. Praise God. And you're going to be very happy. Hallelujah. You're going to be blessed today. I know you already are. But this passage, it begins with words of warning and caution. He says, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And why do we need to do that? He says, lest we drift away. You know, I don't think there's anybody, nobody that I have ever run across, just gets up one morning, wakes up one morning and says, you know, I think I'm going to walk away from God today. You know, I think I'm going to backslide today. You know, I think I'm going to quit believing in healing today. You know, I think I'm going to quit believing the promises of God today. I don't think anybody just consciously wakes up, makes a decision that they're going to turn away from God and go away from God. But the sad truth is many people, many Christians drift away. You know, you ever been out this summertime and you ever been out in a pool and gotten, you know, right on the out in the lake or something or a pond and you're on a, you know, some kind of a flotation device and you just lay in there and you close your eyes and, you know, the maybe the water's just gently rocking you. And then you know, a few minutes later you realize you've drifted. You know, the water has carried you, the wave or whatever has carried you, and you can drift, can't you? Yes. Well, spiritually speaking, the devil wants to put you to sleep and cause you to drift away from the truth of God's Word, to drift away from the truth of the Word of God, which brings us this great salvation. The great salvation he talked about in verse 3 comes to us through the Word of God, and that's why he said we need to pay the more earnest heed. We need to pay attention to the things that we have heard. Yeah. Now, why is that such a challenge? Why did he have to tell us, you need to pay attention to what you've already heard? Why is that a challenge? Well, I think it's even more of a challenge today because we have so much information coming at us. And there's so many new things. You know, they say that because of the internet and because of smartphones and all this, that our attention span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Just because, hey, you know, show me this now. Let me see this now. I mean, stuff's just flying at us from everywhere. Well, so why is it such a challenge? Because some people get bored. Oh, well, I've heard that before. I've heard that already. Well, he says we need to pay the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Amen. So don't get caught up. Don't get bored with, oh, well, I've heard that before. Well, what you've heard is what's going to put you over. What you've heard is your foundation that you never move away from. Amen? Amen. In Acts, we'll come back to Hebrews in a moment, but in Acts 17:21, talked about a group of people that Paul encountered when he went to Athens. This is not at UGA, but this is in Greece, okay? Maybe the University of Greece in Athens. Maybe it's that UGA. But it talks about in Athens, it says, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's all they did. I mean, it was that's a pretty good description of our culture today, isn't it? They spent their time in nothing else either to tell or to hear some what? Some new thing. Oh, we've heard that before. Tell us a new thing. Tell us something. That's very dangerous for of an attitude for us to adopt as Christians. Tell me a new thing. That's open season for deception. Now, on the other hand, God has new things for us, and we should always be open to God for further revelation and further understanding. But folks, it's the things that we've heard. Paul talked about that to Timothy. He said, he told him to take heed to the things that you've heard and know from whom you've learned them.
Amen.
Yes. Now, sure, some things that maybe you heard growing up, religious tradition and things like that, we need to unlearn that. But if it's in the Word of God and it's been taught solidly in the Word of God, we got to hold on to that. He says, give more earnest heed to it. Pay attention to it. Amen? Now, here's the other reason, I think. Other times, folks get deceived. We get deceived by the devil, and it goes something like this. You know, you must be missing something, because if what you were hearing and believing was sufficient, then your condition would improve. Do you get that? And I think that can be a deception of the devil. Many times the problem is it's not that you're not hearing enough or that you're not hearing we're not hearing the right thing. The problem is the Bible tells us we have to be what? Doers of the Word and not hearers only. See, it's not hearing the Word that'll put us over. It's doing the Word. It's putting it into practice that will put us over. Amen? And so he says, don't neglect the second warning he gives us is don't neglect this great salvation. It's easy to lose sight of the blessings that we already have, whether they're directly spiritual blessings from the Lord or just things in the natural He's blessed us with. It's easy to lose sight of those things through neglect, isn't it? And neglect the blessings that we already have. And so that's why he's telling them, let's go back to Hebrews 2, verse 3, Amy. And look at what he says here. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The neglecting is connected to what he said earlier about paying the more earnest heed lest we drift away. If we stop hearing the truth and we begin to drift from the truth, then we're going to neglect so great a salvation. And we can't afford to neglect our salvation. Because as Brother Brian was saying, it is so all-encompassing. It is so much bigger. And I think that's where people miss it sometimes. They think, oh, well, I'm going to heaven one day, but they don't realize how great the salvation is. That, hey, my salvation can help me with this situation right here. My salvation can help deliver me and bring me freedom and peace and victory right now in this situation I'm facing. Amen? But look at what he says here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So this great salvation, he says, first of all, it began to be spoken by the Lord. That's Jesus. Jesus is the one who came and announced this great salvation. And then, after his death and resurrection, of course, the 12 disciples went out, and what did they do? They began to proclaim it as well, didn't they? So here's the point, something very important that we need to see. It's maybe very simple, but it's also very profound, and it's this. This salvation comes to us through proclamation. In fact, why don't you say that? We'd say salvation comes through proclamation. Amen. This salvation comes through proclamation. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, proclaimed by the Lord, and then proclaimed, preached by His disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. So salvation comes through proclamation. Let's look and see where Jesus started to do this. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus, you know, he began his ministry. He grew up, and he was 30 years old when he started his ministry. I heard Dr. Lester Sumrall say one time, the hardest thing that Jesus had to do in his life was wait around in Nazareth for 30 years, saying, come on, Father, let's get on with this. You know, let's start winning the world and saving the world. But he waited for God's timing, didn't he? And when he was 30 years old, he went down to the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he went into the wilderness 40 days, fasted for 40 days, was tempted by the devil, overcame every temptation. And then it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. In verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus went to church. Amen. Amen. That was his custom. Well, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, my Bible says there's some assembly required. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus went to church. And he went, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And what did he do? He began to speak this great salvation. He began to proclaim this great salvation. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's part of this great salvation. Good news to the poor. What is good news to a poor man? You don't have to be poor no more.
Amen.
Glory to God. It also means, hey, this salvation that I'm bringing, this salvation that I'm accomplishing and bringing about, it's free. You can't earn it. You don't have to have a certain amount to pay for it. It's for everybody. It's accessible to everybody.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. I lost my place here. Here we go. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Another element, another aspect of this salvation is healing for the brokenhearted. Amen. That's what makes this salvation so great. If you've been wounded, if you've been disappointed, if you've been damaged in your soul, this salvation has the remedy. Amen. Healing for the brokenhearted. And then he goes on to say, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. This includes both captivity to sin and to sickness. Any bondage of the enemy. Jesus said, I've come to proclaim to the captive, you are free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You are free. Yes. Glory to God. Why don't you say that? Say, I am free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then he says, recovery and recovery of sight to the blind. Did you know that's in this great salvation? Amen. Recovery of sight, both physically and spiritually as well. Jesus talked about people being spiritually blind in his day. Glory to God, there's recovery of sight to the blind. It's a bad thing to be blind spiritually, to not know where you're going, to be confused. But it's a wonderful thing when we get our eyes open to the purpose of God, when we get our eyes open to the goodness of God, and we begin to see as God sees. We begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. We begin to look at the world the way God looks at the world. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. If we'll get the rest of it. All right. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus came to do that. And here's an example of it in Luke 13, if you'll go there with me. And then we're going to catch another thing in Luke 4 at the end here of what he came to do. But Luke chapter 13, verse 10, notice he said in Luke 4, he said he came to proclaim liberty to the captive, and then he came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So everybody look this way. So there was a proclamation of what he came to do, a proclamation of the good news, and then there was a demonstration. So this salvation, it comes to us, salvation comes through proclamation, But along with proclamation, there should be and can be, and we should expect a demonstration, a manifestation. These are not just nice words. This is not just some philosophical idea. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the Word of God. And this salvation that He brings to us, there's power to change our lives, our spirit, our soul, and our body.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So in Luke 13, it says, "Now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" What is He doing? He's proclaiming liberty to the captive. That's what He said He came to do. So He proclaims it to her. He says, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." And then, He didn't stop there though, and, everybody say and.
Amen.
And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So there was a proclamation, and then there was a demonstration. He proclaimed it. He said, "I'm proclaiming you're free from your infirmity." And then He set her at liberty. He came to proclaim liberty, but He also came to set at liberty. And you know, He's the same today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are proclaiming liberty and freedom to you today. But I want you to know it doesn't stop with a proclamation of it. Jesus wants to set you at liberty. Jesus wants there to be a manifestation, a demonstration in your life of His power, of His strength, of His grace to set you free in every area of your life.
Amen.
That's what's in this salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 4, let's go back to that. It says, God, look at what it says here. God, when He talks about, He says, this great salvation that first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard Him, His disciples. And then He says this, God also bearing witness. Bearing witness to what? The proclamation of the message, the proclamation of the gospel. When the gospel is proclaimed, God says, "Yep, that's what I put my stamp of approval on." And His stamp of approval is signs and wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's God's stamp of approval. It's amazing when our friends, the Odells, and we could talk about other ministers, but we're friends with them and know them and partner with them. When they go to India or to Pakistan and they stand up on that platform and they say, "We're here to bring you good news," and they proclaim the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and they get up and they say this, "If there are not miracles, if the blind eyes aren't open here tonight, if the cripples do not walk, if the deaf do not hear, then we're false prophets and you can run us out of town." And the hundreds of crusades they've done over the decades, they've never been run out of town.
Amen.
God always shows up when they proclaim the simple message of the gospel, and we're going to give it to you point by point in a moment here. God always shows up and He puts His stamp of approval on it. Hallelujah. Amen? So He says, it began to be spoken by the Lord, and then it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. He's talking about the 12 disciples, and I thought about Peter. Of course, on the day of Pentecost, he got out and he began to preach, and then just a few days later, Peter and John, remember Acts chapter 3, they're going to the temple to pray, and at the gate, beautiful, there's the lame man, and Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he reached out his hand, grabbed the man up, and he was healed. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, the Bible says. And so Peter got arrested for that. And in Acts chapter 4, he's talking about this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole." Look at verse 11. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now verse 12, what we wanted to get to. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name." Everybody say, "No other name."
No other name.
"There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's one name, and that's the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other, but there is salvation in that name. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. And it's a great salvation. Amen. It's a great salvation. We have a great salvation because we have a great Savior.
That's right.
Amen. The salvation is only as good as the Savior who provides it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, so the Apostle Paul, he came along. He wasn't one of the original 12 disciples. He came along later. You know his story about how he persecuted the church. But then he had a divine encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he became a follower of Jesus, and he began to preach this good news and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And he says this in Romans 1, verse 15. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach, and preach means to proclaim. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Why, Paul? Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice this now. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So the proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation of the good news is the power of God unto salvation. Again, we're still on this same point. Salvation comes through proclamation. Hallelujah. That's when we have to hear it. Amen. There's no, God doesn't have a modern plan for today's, you know, no matter what vehicle we use, whether we use internet, podcast, whatever vehicle we use, the gospel and it still has to be proclaimed, and that because that salvation comes through proclamation.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so Paul says, I'm proclaiming the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God. The power of God is released. The power of God is contained in the gospel and is released through the gospel.
Amen.
And the power of God brings that salvation to us. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Acts 14 now. Acts 14 and verse 3. And I'll either find it in my Bible or read it off the screen here because I don't have it in my notes. But Acts 14, so this is Paul and Barnabas at this time, I believe. Acts 14, verse 3, it says, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Like we talked about earlier, God was putting his stamp of approval on the message they were preaching. He was bearing witness to the word of his grace. They were preaching the word of his grace. Amen. They were preaching that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. They were preaching, you can't save yourself. Salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is by the grace of God. And all we have to do is believe it and receive it. They were preaching that. And God was saying, yes, putting his stamp of approval, granting that signs and wonders were being done by their hands.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. Verse 7, and they were preaching the gospel there. They were doing what? What were they doing? They were preaching the gospel. How does salvation come? Through proclamation, right? What were they doing? Preaching the gospel. Verse 8 then. And in Lystra, where they were preaching the gospel, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking? Yeah, they were preaching the gospel there. This man heard Paul speaking. He's speaking the gospel. He's crippled from birth. He's never walked, and he's hearing the gospel. Now, again, what is the gospel? It's what? It's good news. It's good news. Well, what would be good news to a crippled man who had never walked? Hey, son, you can be healed. You don't have to be crippled anymore. Amen. That's what's in this gospel. That's what's in this salvation. It's bigger. Like Brother Brian said, it's bigger than just going to heaven one day. Oh, praise God. And so he said, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. He has never walked, but all of a sudden faith comes into his heart to be healed. Where'd that faith come from? From hearing the gospel. Amen. Are you still on the train with me here?
Yes.
He heard Paul speak. He had faith to be healed. And so Paul saw that. He perceived that in his spirit. I don't know if the man maybe was going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what it was. Somehow Paul could see it. This man's getting it. Sometimes you can tell. Not always, but sometimes you can tell if folks are getting it. Sometimes you can tell if maybe their mind is 50 miles away. Yeah. The lights are on, but nobody's home. But this man was getting it. He was getting it. And Paul saw that. And he looked at him. He said, stand up on your feet. With a loud voice, he said, stand up on your feet. And the man, without thinking, he didn't have time to think about it and say, wait a minute, I can't do that. He just jumped up and walked. Crippled from birth and had never, what a miracle that was.
Amen.
What a miracle that was. What produced that? The gospel, the proclamation, the gospel brought salvation.
Right. Right.
Woo! Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. No, we don't want to go there yet. 1 Corinthians 15, then Romans 10. 1 Corinthians 15, look at this. So what is this message? My gosh, what kind of message is this that cripples from birth can walk? It must be very mysterious. It must be very complicated. On the contrary. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you were saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. What? He says, by which, by the gospel, you're saved. So by the gospel, that salvation comes. Unless you believed in vain. Here it is. For I delivered to you, first of all, now, some translations render that this way, the most important things. I believe the New Living says, I delivered to you the most important. I told you the most important thing. Here it is. There's a lot of things in the Word of God. There's a lot of truth in God's Word. But the core, folks, the core is right here. The core of all of it. All the Old Testament points to this right here. And all the Gospels points to that right there. And all the New Testament epistles is an explanation of what happened right there. This is it. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
That's it? Yeah, that's it. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again. That's it. That's the message that the Odells preach on those crusade fields in India and Pakistan. And that's the message when they preach it that God confirms with signs and wonders and miracles. That's the message that contains the power of God that will deliver full salvation to your life. Within the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what He did in that was He accomplished a full and complete redemption for you and me.
Amen.
That dealt with every need in our life. Praise God.
Amen.
Now go to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it? Yeah, that's it. You mean that's all we do? Yeah, that's all we do. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have this salvation. You will be sozoed. Hallelujah. As Brother Brian mentioned earlier. You'll be saved. What all is in sozo now? Tell us again. Let me get the microphone. Get this. And let's get this on the message if we can.
Healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, and preservation.
Amen. That's sozo. And the word soteria, that is salvation, he said, is that and a whole lot more and everything else. Amen. Glory to God. You're going to see. Right here, he says, so what? So verse 8, he says, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That, for salvation from sin, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Don't you have to confess all your sins? Good luck with that. Before you get saved, you have to confess all your sins. Lord, you know, in 1974, remember that. You can't remember all your sins before you got saved. You confess the Lord. You confess, yes, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I confess with my mouth, Jesus is now my Lord. Satan, you're no longer my Lord. Jesus is my Lord now. Amen. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I receive, then that's how you're saved. Amen. Now, after you get saved, when you miss it, when you sin, yes, confess that specific sin. God, I miss it there. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Yes, we need to confess our sin as Christians to maintain fellowship. That's another issue. Amen? Amen. All right. So, here we go. All right, let's get through this now. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And as Brother Brian said, this is how we receive every aspect, every element, every part of this great salvation. How do I receive it? How do I appropriate it into my life? Well, if I need healing, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord over my body. If I need provision, Jesus is Lord over my finances. Amen. Devil, you're not my Lord. You're not Lord over my body anymore. Jesus is Lord over my body. I'm healed. Devil, you're not Lord over my finances, over my provision anymore. You'll not keep me in lack and poverty and broke. Jesus is Lord over my finances. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction. I love this verse. Verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Like Bonnie said, he's bringing us together. Amen. For the same Lord over all, look at this, is rich to all who call upon him. To do all who do what? Call upon. That's all you have to do is call upon him. That's what this gospel, this good news is. Call on his name. Call on him. The same Lord over all is rich. He's rich, folks. He's not a miserly God. He's not saying, oh, well, if I've got to bless you, let me see. Maybe I've got something here. Here, take that. He's rich. He's rich in blessing. He's rich. This salvation is rich. It's rich. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever, verse 13. For whoever, is that you? Raise your hand if you're a whoever. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 now. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him, in him, of whom they have not heard? That's why there has to be a proclamation, right? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? So he's doing this in reverse. So he's saying someone has to be sent, and then they have to proclaim the message, and someone has to hear it, and when they hear it, then they can believe, and once they believe, then they can call, and when they call, they'll be saved. Do you get that? He's doing it in reverse here. So it's preach it, and then that's one responsibility of one individual is to preach it. Then the hearer hears it. And when they hear it and they receive that message, then faith comes, then they can believe. And when they can believe, they can call. And when they call, they're saved. They receive the salvation. Amen. He says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Verse 15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So, here's the point. We are recipients of this great salvation, but God also wants us to be proclaimers and dispensers of this salvation. So, well, Pastor, I don't think I could get up on the platform, and I don't like wearing suits, and I really don't like wearing a tie. We're not talking about that. Preach means to proclaim. Every believer is called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know about all the Greek and Jesus, can you tell somebody this? Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again.
Amen.
That's it. That's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Amen. And in that gospel is the power of God. Look at this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll wrap this up in a moment here. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Peter says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Talking about the Old Testament prophets now. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. See, the message of salvation was contained in the Old Testament, but it was a mystery to them. All right? Which salvation, next verse, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, to these Old Testament prophets, it was revealed, get this now, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Everybody say, to me. What's in it for you? It's right here. But to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Think about that. Somebody said, boy, I wish I was as powerful as an angel. But an angel is looking at you saying, boy, I wish I could be saved.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have salvation. Now, they have a place in God. And a place with God, the ones that didn't fall. But they're looking at us.
Yeah.
And they say, I wish I could have what they have. I wish I could get in on what they get in on. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen? A perfect example of this, Peter's saying these Old Testament prophets of this salvation, they inquired and searched. And they would prophesy things and they'd say, what am I saying? Who is this talking about? Who is this directed to? And they didn't quite understand it. But now, once Jesus has come and fulfilled it, it makes perfect sense and it's perfectly clear. A great example of this is Isaiah 53. Because Isaiah was 700 years before Jesus, and look at what he said. Surely. Isaiah didn't know what he was talking about when he said this. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what's in this salvation. The word grief and sorrow also means sickness and pain. It can mean emotionally. It's for both. In other words, there's emotional healing and there's physical healing. Surely He, Jesus, bore our griefs. Jesus carried our sorrows. If you've experienced sorrow and grief, there is healing and freedom for you in this great salvation.
Amen.
Thank God. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Next verse. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. That's what Isaiah was declaring this 700 years before Jesus came on this earth. And he was prophesying of the grace that would come to us. We understand this now. We see it clearly now because this is exactly what Jesus did. Praise God. Next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God he did. Thank God Jesus bore that. The Lord laid on him the iniquity. All of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. I don't know about you, but I know I have. But thank God the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. What a great salvation. What a great salvation. Luke chapter 4, verse 19. I'll wrap it up here. Luke chapter 4, Jesus, it says this salvation, we read in Hebrews, this salvation at the first was spoken by the Lord. And here's where he did it. I believe every city that he went into, every synagogue he went into, this was the message that he preached. Every time he started out his, when he started out his ministry in a new city. And he ended it, we didn't read verse 19, he talked about the different things that he came to do. But it says this, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. They understood that as the year of Jubilee. And basically, to summarize it, it meant a cancellation of debts and a restoration of what was lost. So what he was saying was happening was that God, through Jesus' death and his shed blood, canceled our debt of sin and made it possible, get this, made it possible to have restored in our lives what was lost or stolen because of the effects of sin. That is good news. That is good news. What a great salvation. What a great salvation. Last verse, Hebrews 7:25, amplified. And again, it's a great salvation because it's a great Savior. The salvation is only as good as the Savior who provided it. What a great Savior we have. Look at what he's doing. Look at what it says about him. Hebrews 7:25 in the Amplified. And where's our keyboardist at? All right, read you doing that today. Praise God. Now I want the whole band to come on back up and get ready. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. Look at this now. I love the way it's worded in the Amplified. Completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. He's able to save to the uttermost. What does it mean to be saved to the uttermost? It means saved completely, saved perfectly, saved finally, and for all time and eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who come to God through him. Who's he able to save like that? Anybody that will come to God through him. Anybody that will come to God through Jesus. Anyone that will believe what Jesus did. Anyone that will believe the price that Jesus paid. Hallelujah. Why? How's he able to do that? Since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. That's what Jesus is doing right now. That's what Jesus is doing right now for you and me. See, when he went back into heaven, the Bible says he sat down. And you know, he gave authority over the devil, demons and evil spirits. He gave that to us. He's not out fighting the devil. He's already defeated him. He's already stripped him of his power. And he gave us authority. He said, you go in my name and you cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. You go he said, all authority has been given to heaven and to me on in heaven and earth. Now you go. And he delegated that authority to us. Why? Because this is what he's doing. He said, I got a job to do. He said, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to be ever living to make intercession for you. And through that, the salvation that I provided for you when I went to the cross, it's going to have its full effect in your life. Hallelujah. So great a salvation. So great a salvation. So great a salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now.